Hello and welcome to the First Baptist Church of LaGrange. What an honor it is to have you listening to our church broadcast today. We hope that as you listen along, following in your Bible, that you experience the grace and presence of Christ just as strongly as we do every Sunday in our worship service. May God truly bless you as you listen.
Daniel chapter 9, talking about, well then, what is the prayer that gets God's attention? Wouldn't you like to know that, right? Wouldn't you like to know that you could pray in such a way that when you prayed it got heaven's attention? Well, I'm trying to tell you that in Daniel chapter 9, that's what we have. Daniel gives one of the most prolific prayers in all of Scripture, and I believe that it is prayer that got heaven's attention, so therefore I think there's something that we could learn from it. We started looking at some principles about prayer that gains heaven's attention. Not just by way of review, want to do that with you this morning, but I know you've been standing a lot, and it's our practice here to stand for the reading of God's Word, but I'm going to ask you to stand in your heart and honor the reading of God's Word. I'm going to ask you to stay seated as I read Daniel chapter 9. The most important thing that I will do today is read God's Word. I wonder if you would turn there, and it'll be on the screen behind you, but I want you to pay close attention to the prayer and how it gained heaven's attention. I want you to make that connection and maybe you'll see what I saw when I studied. The Bible says, in the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus of Median descent, who was the king, was made king over the kingdom of the Chaldeans, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, observed in the books the number of years which was revealed as the word of the Lord to Jeremiah the prophet for the completion of the desolations of Jerusalem, namely 70 years. So I gave my attention to the Lord to seek him by prayer and supplications and fasting, sackcloth and ashes. I prayed to the Lord my God and confessed and said, Alas, O Lord, the great and awesome God who keeps his covenant and loving kindness for those who love him and keep his commandments. We have sinned, committed iniquity, acted violently and rebelled, even turning aside from your commandments and ordinances. Moreover, we have not listened to your servants, the prophets, who spoke in your name to our kings, our princes, our fathers, and all the people of the land. Righteousness belongs to you, O Lord, but to us, open shame. And as it is this day, to the men of Judah, the inhabitants of Jerusalem and all Israel, those who are nearby and those who are far away in the countries to which you have driven them, because of their unfaithful deeds which they have committed against you, open shame belongs to us, O Lord, to our kings, our princes, our fathers, because we have sinned against you. To the Lord our God belong compassion and forgiveness, for we have rebelled against him. Nor have we obeyed the voice of the Lord our God to walk in his teachings, which he set before us through his servants, the prophets. Indeed, all Israel has transgressed your law and turned aside, not obeying your voice. So the curse has been poured out upon us, along with the oath which is written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, for we have sinned against him. Thus he has confirmed his words which he had spoken against us and against our rulers who ruled us to bring on us great calamity. For under the whole heaven there has not been done anything like what was done to Jerusalem. And as it is written in the law of Moses, all this calamity has come upon us, yet not we have not sought the favor of the Lord our God by turning from our iniquity and giving our attention to your truth. Therefore, the Lord has kept the calamity in store and brought it on us. For the Lord our God is righteous with respect to all his deeds which he has done, but we have not obeyed his voice. And now, O Lord our God, who have brought your people out of the land of Egypt with a mighty hand and have made a name for yourself, as of this day we have sinned, we have been wicked. O Lord, in accordance with all your righteous acts, let now your anger and your wrath turn away from your city, Jerusalem, your holy mountain. For because of our sins and the iniquities of our fathers, Jerusalem and your people have become a reproach to all those around us. So now, our God, listen to the prayer of your servant and to his supplications. And for your sake, O Lord, let your face shine on your desolate sanctuary. Oh, my God, incline your ear and hear. Open your eyes and see our desolations in the city which is called by your name. For we are not presenting our supplications before you on account of any merits of our own, but on account of your great compassion. O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, listen and take action for your own sake, O my God. Do not delay, because your city and your people are called by your name. Verse 20 says, And now while I was speaking and praying, and confessing my sin and the sin of my people and presenting my supplication before the Lord my God in behalf of the holy mountain of my God while I was speaking in prayer. Then the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision previously, came to me in my extreme weariness about the time of the evening offering. And he gave me instruction and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I have now come forth to give you insight and understanding. At the beginning of your supplications, the command was issued. And I have come to tell you, you are highly esteemed. So give heed to the message and gain understanding of the vision. Man, may God bless the reading of his word. I mean, Daniel prays, and God says, from the moment you started praying, heaven gave the command, and angels now here. Man, that's what I'm saying. That's gaining heaven's attention, amen. Now, I thought you were supposed to help me preach, not Wayne, but that's okay. That's all right, Josh. That's all right. Just checking. Now, I'm not going to teach anything new for the first two points here. I'm just going to make way of review what we've already covered, because it's been a few weeks. First thing we learned last time we were together in this text was that prayer that gets heaven's attention grows by steadfast practice. This isn't the first time that Daniel's praying. Daniel's well aged now, and so remember we talked about this, that Daniel had the habit of praying three times a day. So a lot of us want to get heaven's attention just by simply praying once in a while. When God sees that you're serious, he gets serious. So Daniel has this custom to pray, and in other words, I would say it differently to you, that you learn to pray by praying. If you want to learn to get heaven's attention, you learn that through praying. And so Daniel just kept coming before God and praying three times a day. And we talked about that Daniel turned panic into prayer. That's what he did when he was faced with, hey, you're going to either bow down to the statue or you're going to die. Daniel turned that panic into prayer. And we talked about, man, that when you're panicked, just turn that panic into prayer. That'll gain heaven's attention. And then we talked about turn powerlessness into prayer. Daniel was faced with being thrown into the lion's den. And he was powerless to shut the mouths of those lions, but he knew God could. So he turned his powerlessness into prayer. Not only his panic, but his powerlessness. And we talked about if your knees begin to knock in your life, then just kneel on them. And if your knees are knocking, just kneel on them. Just knock, knock, knock on heaven's door, to quote an ancient theologian. But prayer that gains heaven's attention grows by steadfast practice. It's you grow in this practice of praying, and you learn to pray in a way that gains heaven's attention. The second thing was prayer that gets heaven's attention is generated by studying his precepts. If you notice here, Daniel says he observed in verse 2. He says he observed in the book. The book he was reading was the prophet Jeremiah, he tells us. He's studying the Bible. He's reading the scroll of Jeremiah. We talked about that if you really want to pray in such a way that gains heaven's attention, just pray God's word right back to him. That's why we had that prayer verse up here on the thing, and it said, here's prayer focus, and then it just repeated God's word back to God. That's the best thing God loves to hear is his own word. If you want to learn to pray in a way that gets his attention, just pray his word back to him. That's what Daniel did. He was reading in Jeremiah chapter 25 and reading in Jeremiah chapter 29 and learned that in 70 years, the Babylonian captivity would be over. And he's saying, we're in year 67. Man, I need to pray about this. This is fixing to be over. And he was well aware that the God who had judged them and the God that had put them into punishment to bring them there for that 70 years, if they didn't get their hearts and minds right, God may punish them for another 70 years. So he was like, God, please, we have sinned wickedly. This time is over. We don't want to go back. And so he started praying God's word back to him. And so we learned that prayer is really a response to the word of God. You and I, sometimes the reason we don't pray is because we aren't in the Word of God, and the Word of God is living and active, and it's able to prick our hearts to cause us to pray. The Holy Spirit will take His Word and use it in your heart to bring you to a time of prayer. So prayer is really a response to the word. So I'm going to say something later. I'm going to say it again now. But listen, the people who pray a lot are the people who actually study the Bible a lot. If you don't study the Bible a lot, you probably don't pray a lot. It's just kind of they go hand in hand. So he remembers this prophecy, and the word of God is alive, and the Holy Spirit will bring things to light through his word. He will burden your heart about situations. He will convict your heart about sin like he did there. He will bring hope to you in situations like he did there. He will bring awareness to your heart about things that are going on, and you will just begin to respond to what you're reading to God in prayer. That's what happens. Prayer is a response to the word, but then we also learn prayer is restating the word. What I find interesting here is I don't have time to unpack this, and I didn't the first time, and I won't today either. But if you were to go back and read the other prophets, Daniel prays exactly like the other prophets pray. I wonder where he learned to pray like that. Because he's just restating what the other prophets have prayed. Even in his prayer, he's praying what other people have prayed. Because that's really what prayer is. There's nothing really new under the sun. We're not going to come up with some private prayer language or some new thing on the planet to pray in ways that haven't been ever done before. If we just pray, we just restate the word of God, and we know we're praying in accordance with God's will. So what do I pray, and how do I pray, and what do I say when I pray? Just take a text of the Bible and just pray it right back to God. That's the best advice that I can give you. When I say this, it's not complicated, but it's not easy because it's work, right? Prayer is work. Need y'all know that. Here's something new for you this morning. Prayer that gets heaven's attention guides us in seeking him personally. Prayer that gets heaven's attention guides us in seeking him personally. Look at there in verse 3. Daniel said in verse 3, he said, "So I gave my attention to the Lord God to seek him." Do you see that? To seek him. A lot of times in our prayer, we're seeking God's hand. We're not seeking his heart. A lot of times we're seeking what God can do for us, but we're not seeking him. You want to pray in a way that gets heaven's attention, go after God's heart, and you'll get heaven's attention real quick. And that means that prayer's got to be more about just praying things, man, to get God to do stuff. It's, man, I want to know God. I want to spend time with God in his presence in prayer. So then Eugene Patterson, in his book on pastoral ministry, he said, prayer is never the first word. It's always the second word. He said, God has the first word, and prayer is answering speech. It's really a response. And when I read about this God in here, that he's merciful and he's full of compassion, man, I want to know that God. I want to seek that God personally. I want to know that God. Where the mind is not filled with the Bible, the heart is not filled with prayer. So I want to know this God, and I want to know to seek him personally if I don't know how he's revealed himself in his word. In this text, we read there were multiple places where Daniel referred to this God who was full of mercy and full of compassion and remembers this and does that. How would he know that God personally if he hadn't been reading the book? And by reading the book, he come to know him. So prayer, first of all, moves from studying his precepts to now stating petitions. Now watch the process here. Daniel studying the word of God. He's studying the precepts. And then he moves to start praying his petitions about what he sees there and saying, "Oh God, please have mercy." Daniel was reading that scroll, studying the prophet Jeremiah, and it moved him to start praying. And here's what I know. As I read the word of God, because it's alive, I see and read things that are relevant to my life. And I see things like, I want God to heal my loved one the way Jesus healed that person. I want the Lord to do a miracle in my life the way he just did a miracle in that text. I want to have that certain character trait in my life that I saw just displayed there. I want to love like I see somebody loving in that text. And it draws me from studying his precepts to start stating petitions that I find that I want to happen in my life. Secondly, prayer moves from stating petitions to seeking his presence. Because the longer that I learn to state those petitions, the more the Lord begins to wean me away from that. Because Daniel prays, the text says, now he gives his attention to seek the Lord, to seek him. You see, most of us, when we learn to pray, when we're being discipled to pray, we spend a lot of time asking God for stuff in our prayers. And I'm not saying that's bad. I think we've got to start somewhere, and that's good. But we're always to be learning in prayer. So as I mature in prayer, as I deepen in prayer, I will begin to spend more time seeking his presence than I will stating my petitions. Just seeking him, to just be with him, to just fellowship with him. I'll give my attention to him. I'll begin seeking his heart, not just seeking his hand. Daniel was building the relationship with the Lord. He wanted the Lord, just not what the Lord could do for him. And you want to gain heaven's attention, man. When you start moving into seeking the Lord, not just what he would do for you, man, you have the Father's full attention. But then watch this. Prayer then moves from seeking his presence to silence in his presence. Here's what I know, and it isn't necessarily here in this text, but I see it other places from Daniel's life, that there were times of intense silence for Daniel. As a man of intense prayer who would read the word, I believe he had learned this principle that we find in 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 10. I believe there had come times in the prophet's life where he learned, like another young prophet, when God says, "Samuel, Samuel," the servant says, "Speak, for your servant is what? Listening." I think there has to be maturity in our prayer life to where we move from just asking God a lot of stuff to sitting in his presence and just being still, being silent. Luke 10:39 says, "And she had a sister called Mary who was also seated at the Lord's feet and was listening to his word." Listening. And God says that she had chosen the better thing. Prayer is as much about silence as it is about speaking. And if you're going to grow in your prayer life, you're going to have to discipline yourself to simply sit in silence. And I know in this culture, that is not your friend. But it's probably why we have so many weak and anemic Christians, is because they can't overcome the cultural stuff that has been sold to you and got you habitualized, that you can't now sit in silence. This is a spiritual discipline, and it will require dying to you. It will feel like you are dying, but you can learn it. You can learn to sit in silence. I promise you, I don't care what kind of diagnosis you have. I don't care. Because if the Lord says it, you can do it. It might be harder for some than it is for others. I'm not saying that. Start with 5 seconds every day, and then go to 6 seconds after a week. And then go to 7 seconds after 2 weeks. You can do this. The problem is we just don't want to, because it feels awkward to sit in silence. But you're probably never going to hear the Lord speak if you're always talking. And do you just want to be in his presence? See, I believe many of us don't hear because we've never really listened. God would speak to you if you would simply listen. We're distracted by so many things in this world, so many sounds. Some of us have to have sound constantly going. And I'm saying, could it be a distraction from really hearing God? So as I continue to grow, I will notice many times are simply just sitting in his presence, not asking, not anything, but simply enjoying being in his presence, saying nothing. When you move there in your prayer life, man, you're really going to gain heaven's attention. Prayer that gains heaven's attention guides us in seeking him personally. And lastly, very quickly, Prayer that gets heaven's attention is grounded in his sovereign plan. It's grounded in his sovereign plan. You see, Daniel knows it's God's will for their deliverance. I mean, 70 years and the captivity will be over. It's year 67, so he begins to pray God's will. Next week, we're going to begin to unpack this prayer that's there in all those verses, and we're going to see the elements that were contained there. But just know he prayed with passion about God's will. See, here, let me say it this way. Prayer is not to get God to change his will. Let me put this saying up on the screen. Prayer is not getting God to adjust to our will, but God getting us to adjust to his. Said differently, prayer is not getting my will done in heaven, but getting heaven's will done on earth. If you want to pray in ways that gains heaven's attention, just pray according to God's word and according to his will. And there's a promise that God has made about that. Daniel knew God's will. How did he know God's will? Because he had read God's word. And he could pray God's word knowing that God was going to answer his word because he was praying in God's will. As a result, heaven intervened. And heaven will do the same thing in your life because Jesus himself made this promise in the New Testament. And John picks this up in 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 and 15. This is the confidence we have before him, that if we ask anything, according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the request which we've asked him. So if you want to pray in a way that gains heaven's attention, it'll be grounded in God's will. When I pray according to God's word, I know it is God's will. And when I pray God's will, heaven hears and heaven will answer. Listen, when you want what God wants, you will get what you want. When you want what God wants, you will always get what you want. Psalm 37:4 says, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. When you finally get to where you're just enjoying Jesus and you want what he wants, then he's going to give you the desires of your heart. When your desires are what he wants, you will get your desires. And you won't learn that unless you really get with him. The key is, this is the key that gets heaven's attention. I want to close this morning by giving you some real practical stuff to teach you a little bit of how to marry the word and prayer. And so I'm moving now from preaching mode into teaching mode, and I'm very well aware of that. So I don't need the emails. Just heads up. This is one of many journals that I have kept throughout the year. And I just fill these pages with stuff. Some days it's just a short paragraph. Sometimes it's three or four pages, just whatever's happening. But I write the date in there, and then I write the passage of scripture that I'm processing through, what I'm learning, prayer requests. I just got stuff in here, and I transfer it over to my phone and my prayer app. But this past week, I was in this, and the Lord does what he always does. And I said, you know what, Lord, I'm going to take what was in my private time and I'm going to show our people what I do and hope it helps. Because I do want to be holy, but I also want to be helpful. And I want to help move the needle in your life to prayer just by showing you the way I do it. And it's just a way, it's not the way. Okay? But first of all, I have a reading plan. So if you'll see that, I have a reading plan. I read through the Bible every year according to a reading plan. And we put those out at the beginning of the year. You can go online. You can check those out. They're on our website. Get on a reading plan. I have a reading. I know exactly where I'm going to be reading. And I've asked others to join me, and they know where I'm at. And we're reading some of the same things. But I have a reading plan. And then there are two things that I've kind of taken through the years and used and then come up with my own. So I want to give you one thing that's kind of helpful. It's an acronym. It's called HEAR, H-E-A-R. The H there stands for highlight. So I'm reading through the text and I just highlight something that kind of jumps out to me. And then after I highlight it, I begin to examine it. And so for those that are in the room, I just highly advise you to get a study Bible as you read through the Bible in a year. Get a study Bible and then just read the notes that are in the study Bible, and that'll help you begin to examine what maybe the Scripture's talking about. Or get a really good commentary. I get a short one that kind of is one of the whole Bible, and just read the text with the commentary open so that you can kind of examine what you're reading. And if you need help with that, Pastor Justin and I are here to help you, recommend some of those to you. And then the A is, I begin to think about, well, how am I going to apply what it is that I've just examined? What is it that God is saying that I need to be doing, thinking, not doing, or not thinking, those kind of things? What does that look like? God, what do you have for me today? What am I supposed to be thinking about this? Is this just a thought? Is this a promise I'm just supposed to hold? What's going on here? And then the R is now, how particularly am I going to respond? What is my action plan? Not just what guy, but what specifically am I going to do with it? What person am I going to talk to? I need to name, and I need to know when, because if I don't come up with a plan, it's just all going to be out there in some world. Here's another one. It's called SOAP, S-O-A-P. SOAP, the S stands for Scripture. Just get a Scripture. The O stands for make observations. Make as many observations as you can. Be a detective. Ask the who, what, where, when, and why over any text. Who's talking here? Who are the characters here? Why is this being said this way? Where is this taking place? When is this happening? How is this going about? Just ask good questions. Make as many observations as you possibly can. And then from those observations, you just say, God, what do you want me to do with this? And that's the application again. And then the P is for prayer. Then you just go back and pray just right over all that. Just pray through all that. Now, I've combined those through the years to come up with my own, and I can't really help you here to know how to pronounce this. I'm gonna let y'all work on that. Yeah, that's what I said. And so I kind of said it was kind of like a northerner trying to say Texas. Shaxes. Thank you. I don't know. You know, I don't know what's going on here. But let me break this down and let me just show you what's going on here. When the S stands for the Scripture. So I know where I'm reading, and so I start with a Scripture. I open my Bible to the passage that I'm going to read, and then I move into the H. And the H stands for the Holy Spirit. And I ask the Holy Spirit to please illuminate my mind to what is in this text. I beg God, please show me what you have in here. Please open my eyes to see you, to see your word, to understand it. Heaven, I need your help. I can't do this on my own. Holy Spirit, please empower me. Ask God for his help to handle his word. Then I move into the A, and the A is for adoration. So I look through the text. And I may read it once, I may read it twice, I may read it three times. I'm looking for ways there of how has God revealed himself as Father, Son, or Holy Spirit. How do I know this God? Who is he? What is he like? What are the characteristics that it tells me that God is like here in this text? What do I see here? Because I won't know him other than him revealing himself to me. So God, who are you? And then when I see that, I just start praying that right back to him. God, you are holy. You are forgiving. You are merciful. You are, whatever I see in the text, man, I just start adoring the Father right there on the spot. And then I move into the C, which stands for confession. God, this who you are has made me realize that I am a sinner in your sight. You are holy and I am not. So what sin is there in this text that you might be revealing to me? And so I read through the text and say, Lord, please show me. Is there any sin here that's in between you and me or other people? God, please show me in my heart. So I read back through the text and looking, is there any sin? And then I'll make my confession to the Lord. We find Daniel doing that a whole lot here, right? And then I move into the T, which stands for thanksgiving. And the way that I get to the Thanksgiving is I ask myself a couple of questions. I say, what is God doing in the text, and how is God loving in the text? What is God doing, and how do I see him loving people in this text? So I see God moving. I see him doing miracles. I see him just ordering people. I see him revealing dreams. What do I see him doing? How do I see him loving people? And then I begin to give him thanks for what I see that he's doing in that text. And there's a reason for that. And God, thank you that you moved in this person's life. God, thank you that man, you were loving this person. God, thank you, man, that you're doing that. There's a reason for that. And then I move into supplication. That's what the S stands for, that's there toward the end. Supplication, that's where I begin to really intercede. So then I begin to say this. God, what is this text showing me about how I really need to pray about people and situations and things that you've brought up that I hadn't really thought about yet? Has this text, and I'll read through it again real quickly and say, man, is this text speaking about some situation? Does this text remind me of somebody in my life that I could pray for according to this text? And it never fails. God always puts things and people on my heart that are represented by what's going on in the text. It's really unique to me. And then it's at that point that I break out my phone with all my prayer requests, and I start praying according to what I see in this text over the prayer requests that I've got in my own prayer list. Because now I believe that I'm seeing God's will being shown here, and I begin to pray God's will over the people that are listed in my phone and the things that are listed in my phone, and I just pray those texts over those people and those situations. And then the A, as I ask myself this question, now I get moving to application, but my application looks very differently because I preached to you before. The whole purpose of God's word is not to make you smarter or to make you better. It's not only to give you right doctrine. It's not only right to tell you how to live right in behavior. It's not only about those things, but it's to keep you rightly related in a loving relationship with God and a loving relationship with people. So if what I believe and how I behave doesn't help me love God and love people, I've got the wrong belief and the wrong behavior. So then my application looks like this. How has God loved me like I see him loving people in this text? God, have you ever loved me the way that I see here? God, have you ever come into my bedroom and spoken to me at one night when I really needed you? God, have you ever convicted my heart over my sin to where I cried out to you and said, God, please forgive me, have mercy on me? Yes, he has. Yes, so God, you have. And I begin to see, God, how have you loved me like I see going on that text? And then I ask this question. God, who in my life today am I supposed to now love the way you have loved me? You love that person and you've loved me. And I'm to love you and love my neighbor as myself. So out of a right relationship with you, I now love other people. How you've loved then, you want to love now, and you want to use me to do it. So now I'm moving the text from just here to here so that I can connect from here to here with other people throughout my day. Who, God, do you want me to love today? Put that person on my brain. Please inspire my heart. Please, when I see them today, if you don't tell me right now when I see them, will I know in that moment that it's them? Oh, God, please, I want to love like you love. And then that last S is where I sit in complete silence until I sense the Lord is done. Sometimes that takes me 30 seconds. Sometimes it takes me an hour. Sometimes it's 15 minutes. Sometimes it's 2 hours. I can't put a time limit on that, but I pray and I sit in silence so I think the Lord is done. Or whatever, is there anything else you would like to say? And I just listen. It's complete silence. I just sit there and just connect with my Father. That's how I do it. I'm not saying it's the way. I'm just saying it's a way of how I incorporate the word and prayer and just see God do tremendous things. This past week, I was reading in 1 Samuel chapter 3, And the Bible says that God spoke to Samuel, that Samuel was living there in the temple. It says he was sleeping by the ark of God. I was like, that's sweet. Man, wouldn't you love, that's just sleeping by the ark of God, that close to God, you could sleep in God's presence. That's just so cool. And it says that Eli, who was the man of God there at the house, was there at the temple too. And the Bible says in 1 Samuel chapter 3, it says something very interesting. It says God called out to Samuel and he said, Samuel, and Samuel jumps up and he runs to Eli and he says, yes, Lord. And Eli says, man, I didn't call you. Go back to bed. He does that three times until finally Eli the prophet realizes God must be calling him. So he sends Eli and he says, hey, Eli, what we read on, he says, next time you hear that, just say, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. Well, the Lord spoke, and the Bible says that he came and stood by where Samuel was sleeping, came and stood there and spoke. Oh, man, that's so good. And then he tells him that he's going to bring judgment upon Eli and his family because of how he's been doing things in the temple. And in the prophecy, and in this thing that he tells him, he says this. He says, you tell Eli that I'm going to bring to bear all the judgment I've prophesied because, listen, because of the sin that he knows about and he didn't do anything to stop it. That's what the text says. Because of the sin he knew about and because he didn't do anything to stop it. Now, what you need to know is that the reason that Samuel didn't recognize the voice of the Lord is because in verse 1 of 1 Samuel, it says this, that the word of God was rare and prophecies were few. You know why? Because Eli the prophet wasn't teaching the word of God in the temple. And Samuel's about 13 years of age, most likely, when he has this encounter. And the Bible says that he did not know the Lord yet because the word of the Lord had not been revealed to him. Whose stinking fault was that? That was Eli, the man of God's fault, for not preaching the word of God, much less to his sons. But now he's got a young man, and he's 13 years of age in the temple of God, day after day after day, and hadn't even heard the word of God. So God says, Eli, your two sons are going to die, and on the day they die, you're going to die too. So I'm praying through all that. I'm praying through all that, man. God, how, man, is there sin? Is there something in my family's life that I've known about that I haven't tried to stop? I mean, I'm begging God. God, man, I see that you speak to people. I'm adoring you. I praise you for all that. God, is there sin in my life? Lord, thank you that you speak to this young boy, that you intervened in this young boy's life. He didn't stand a chance with that priest, but you intervened. Thank you, God. Lord, you came to me one night and you spoke to my heart and you revealed the word of God to me and you brought me to life. Oh, God, thank you. And I'm just, God, you've loved me like this. What, God, is there anybody in my life today that I am supposed to tell that they are in sin, and if I don't, you're going to judge me? God, is there anything like that? Is there something that I know about that I'm supposed to speak to somebody? God, is that how I'm supposed to love somebody today? Get out of my prayer time, and I had a meeting with somebody. I won't tell you what day, and I won't tell you what gender. A man sits down, and I broke that rule. A man sat down in my office, and the first words out of his mouth were, Pastor, I need your wisdom because somebody in my family is sinning, and I need to know whether I'm supposed to tell them they need to stop or not. You can't make this stuff up. I said, man, I can't tell you what you're supposed to do that, but can I tell you, let's read 1 Samuel chapter 3, and can we do what God said? Can we just say, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening, and you see if God tells you what he says here in this text. And before he even got home, he had already called that family member to set up a time to go confront them because God spoke to him and said, yes, this is what I'm supposed to do. That same afternoon, I'm sitting out somewhere in LaGrange and I'm witnessing to a guy that I built a relationship with, and I'm begging him. I'm begging him to come to Jesus. Begging him. begging him. And the Lord spoke to me and said, Steve, back off. Because the reason he doesn't yet know me is because I haven't revealed my word to him yet. Only I can do that. And I said, wow, God. Because your word is so alive. And if you would just pray like I've taught you, you will gain heaven's attention and he will be just as alive and powerful in your life as the stories that I tell you that you think I make up. There is prayer that gains heaven's attention. As I close and as the band begins to come, I want to tell you this. I'm not trying to play on your emotions. I just want to tell you something that I have learned. I'm going to go back to reading this off my notes because I get super emotional about it and I need to control myself so it helps me to read my notes. Several years ago, my mom was getting sick. And I knew it would be just a little while before she died. And one day, my aunt calls me and says, Stephen, we've had to take your mom to the hospital. She's not doing good. I was currently pastoring in Ohio, and my mom and I, we lived in Virginia. And so I drove down to Virginia to be with her, and I entered into her hospital room. I pulled a bed in the room, and they didn't really want me there, but I was going to be there anyway. I stayed with my mom every night for a really long time, and I helped my mom go to the bathroom. I had to feed my mom. I had to bathe my mom. Probably the most intimate time I've had with her. One of those days, my Aunt Judy was up there. She was visiting my mom, and while my aunt was talking to my mom goes completely unresponsive. And all these alarms start going off, and she flatlines. I watched my mom absolutely stop breathing. And this is all slow motion, if you can imagine. And the only thing I knew to do was just to run and yell for help. So my aunt goes down this way of the hallway, and I go down this way of the hallway, and in Virginian country accents, y'all gotta help us! We're letting anybody and everybody know. We are screaming at the top of our lungs, please come, please help, please help us, please help us, please help us. And nobody came. We went back to the room. And I said, well, I guess this is it. And then out of nowhere, this team of like 30 people entered into my mom's room. There was blood and stuff going everywhere. They ripped her open. It was crazy. But within an hour, my mom was back with us. I'm so thankful that my mom was able to live after that. She didn't live much longer. The reason I tell you that story is simply this. I wonder if you're in the hospital of life right now. Maybe you flatlined, and maybe you've tapped out, and maybe you've just given up because you're tired of running up and down the hallways of heaven screaming because it doesn't seem like anybody has heard you. Can I just tell you? You do not have to yell. You do not have to panic. You do not have to try to gain heaven's attention by using anything other than just going to God's word and just praying this book right back to God. And I promise you, heaven will enter that room with you, and he will bring dead things to life. Would you stand to your feet? Let's pray. Father, I love you, and I'm so grateful that we get to learn about prayer. Lord, as Jesus his disciples were gathered, they said, Jesus, teach us to pray. And that's my prayer, Lord, teach me to pray. Not just how, but to pray. Minister to us about the power of prayer right now, Father. If there's anyone in this room today that has never prayed a prayer that said, Lord God, I'm a sinner. And Jesus, I believe that you died on the cross, you were buried and raised again for the forgiveness of my sins. If you've never prayed that, I pray that during this time that the Lord Jesus would reveal that to you and that you would give your life to him and let him have your sin. If you need conversation about that or like to talk about that, we'll be here to receive you.